truth and honor.
Again, happy to be with you. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. Appreciate the good prayers, the song service, and good scripture reading. You're asked to take your Bibles out and follow along with me. Make sure that what I'm saying is right, that it's in harmony with the Bible, the Word of God. And if you think I've missed the mark in some way, don't hesitate to let me know that. If I'm wrong about it, you show me by the Bible that I'm wrong, then I'll be honest about it. I'll admit it, make correction of it, never preach it again, that heaven would be my eternal home. But on the other hand, if you study and you find that the things that I talk about this evening are right, that they're in harmony with the Bible, and our prayer is that you'll believe them, obey them, that you'll live according to the things in the Bible and go to heaven when life is over, and you'll teach others along the way. If I were to ask you, does it matter what type of attitude that you have, what would you say? Probably most people would answer that it does matter what kind of attitude that we have. Attitudes matter. It makes a difference. But evidently in the world today, the case is that so many think evidently that attitudes don't matter. After all, you believe what you want to believe and you do what you want to do and you have whatever attitude that you'd like to have. And well, it really doesn't matter anyway, is the thinking of a lot of people. But it does matter what our attitude is. The word attitude has been defined, according to one source, as meaning the posture or position of a person showing or meant to show a mental state, emotion, or mood, the manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition and opinion. The wise man penned long ago, "For as he thinketh in his heart," you know the rest of it, "so is he." Proverbs 23 and then verse 7. And as Ethan read just a moment ago from Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." The Bible provides many examples of attitudes. In fact, just about every individual that you encounter in the Bible, that you read about in the Bible, had an attitude that the Bible speaks about. Some of them are pretty in depth as you think about their attitude. I mean, the Bible talks, gives us numerous things concerning the attitude of individuals. Some of them are just briefly mentioned and then mentioned no more. And so as you think about attitudes of the Bible, it makes a good study as you think about these characters, these individuals who are just like you and me, real people who had various different attitudes, some negative and some positive. I remember my dad over and over, several times, just talking about attitudes and trying to get us to understand the importance of not having negative attitudes. The world so many times thinks it's just doom and gloom all the time, and there's not positive about anything. And we need to understand we need to have a positive attitude, but we need to have an attitude concerning spiritual things that is the right type of attitude. So I'd like for us to think about some Bible attitudes this evening. Some good and some not good. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, a passage that you know so very well, I'm sure, but it does us good to be reminded of 2 Kings chapter 5. You know who mainly we are introduced to and we read about in 2 Kings chapter 5? Naaman. A man who was a leper, had leprosy, this dreaded disease. And he came to the man of God, Elisha, to be healed of his leprosy. And notice, if you will, beginning with verse 9. So Naaman, let's begin with verse 8. "It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth," he was angry, "and went away and said," now watch this attitude, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Then they began to reason with themselves, I've got better waters, more appropriate, cleaner waters back at home. Why should I go and do what the man of God has told me to go and do? But it wasn't until the servants came and talked some good sense into it and said, Master, if he had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? And so he went and complied with the command. And when he complied, he was washed of his leprosy. But the minute that you and me begin to have this attitude, behold, I thought, we get ourselves in trouble. Everyone has an opinion. You've heard that before. Most everyone has an opinion with the way that they think that it ought to be. But we need to set that aside and look for a book, chapter, verse, what saith the Lord for what we do. Not have the attitude, well, I thought that it ought to be. We'll never have unity in the body of Christ if we do things based upon the attitude, behold, I thought. You look out in the divided religious world which we live in. You know what probably the most prevalent attitude among religious folk is out in the denominational world? By the way, never refer to the body of Christ as another denomination. I hear people talk about the Lord's church from time to time like that. Well, other denomination. What do you mean other? Other implies that we are one. And we're not another denomination. We are not a denomination, period. The Church of Christ didn't split and splinter off of anything. Always keep that in mind. We're not another denomination. We're the Lord's body. The church will read about in the New Testament. And we don't base things upon, behold, I thought. In Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You cannot do things according to the way that you think or that I think that it ought to be done. We've got to take what the Scriptures say. Are we on the same page? Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, you'll probably never meet a foolish person who thought they were wrong. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But God said, my thoughts and my ways are not like man's thoughts and ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and ways higher than yours. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Behold, I thought. Don't have that attitude. But also, come with me to the book of John, chapter 9. As we think about some Bible attitudes, and there's so many more that you could add. I mean, we're just going to talk about 6, 7 maybe. And you think about all the individuals that you're introduced to in the Bible and the attitude that they had, some of them good attitudes, commendable attitudes, and others were not. In the book of John, chapter 9, we read about an instance where the Lord gave sight to a blind man. In John chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. I recently talked about, if you're following along on Sundays or the TV program, we're talking, doing some lessons from the book of Acts. I think this week was lesson 11. We're in Acts chapter 2, and I think it was on verse 23. And we talked about last week about some miracles that Jesus did, undeniable miracles. Now, folks didn't believe many times that Jesus was the Son of God. They denied that in spite of the miracles that Jesus did. They couldn't deny the miracles. Even His critics, even His enemies said, we can't deny the things that He's doing. No, everyone knows the miracles that this man's doing. They couldn't deny what He was doing. But they denied that He was the Son of God. And the Bible talks about the fact in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 22 that Jesus was approved of God by many miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. They were undeniable. Whoever heard the fact that a man born blind would receive his sight? But this is what Jesus is getting ready to do. So here was this man that had been born blind. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Now later he's going to be brought into question by the religious leaders. Who is this man that has done this deed? Then his parents are going to be asked. What do you say about this man that has done this deed to your son? What do you say about him? Watch verse 21. Or 20 rather. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we don't know. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They could have opened their mouth, but their answer was based upon their fear of the Jews. How would you have responded had it been you? Would you have said, This is our son, and we know exactly how he is now seen? Or would you have had the attitude of, Well, just ask him. He's of age. Don't ask us. Now think about over in the book of John chapter 7. There was much murmuring among people concerning him, that is, concerning Jesus. For some said, He's a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him. Why? For fear of the Jews. I ask you this evening as I take inventory of myself. Are you holding back because of fear that you have of other people? I talked with you about that some this morning. About not being afraid. Hebrews 4 we talked about in Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Don't be afraid. Psalm 3 and passages like you have in the book of Revelation that talk about those that will be cast in the lake of fire. Among that list that is talked about in the book of Revelation are the fearful. Don't be afraid. There's a right kind of fear to have, and then there's a wrong kind of fear to have. A lot of folks, especially in the time that we live now, may not be afraid of people because of physical harm. But they've allowed themselves to be afraid so much that they're no longer willing to do what God would have them to do. And at any other time, they would say, I know what God expects of me. I'm going to do it. But perhaps I'm afraid. I understand to some extent fear for this reason and that reason. But I say that to say this, don't let your service to God be crippled or non-existent because of fear. Not a one of us can afford to be in that category. None of us. Here, out, anywhere. We just can't do it. In Luke 18:11, another attitude that we need to think about. It's easy for us to maybe run into someone and maybe we take notice of what they're doing and we say they're pretty bad. They're a pretty bad character. I sure am thankful I'm not like that. Can you read of someone in the Bible that had that attitude? In Luke chapter 18, notice what the Bible says in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Now, what kind of trusting in themselves did they have? Oh, that they could save themselves? Is that what kind of trusting they had? Now, the text tells us, we don't have to guess. We just have to read it. That they were righteous and despised others. Holier-than-thou attitude. I'm in a better position than you are. I tell you, every single one of us, there is no, I'm here, you're here. God is above. Jesus is our head. We're with one another. You don't work for me, I don't work for you. We work with one another in the kingdom of God as we serve God. In fact, we work with God. The Bible points out in the book of 1 Corinthians, neither is he that planteth anything or he that watereth, but they're one, and we're laborers together with God, the Bible talks about. We don't work for one another. We work for God. We work with one another. I've had employers in the past that had the attitude, you work for me and you just do whatever I say the way that I say it. And I understand that in being an employee-employer relationship, but I tell you, they didn't have the respect of many other workers to have that dictatorial type attitude. And so he goes on to say, to these that were more righteous and despised others. Now, notice what he says. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Now remember, both of these had a right to be where they were at. The Pharisee, a Jew, a sect of the Jews, a division of the Jews, they had divided themselves in the intertestamental period, the 400 years of silence, they had divided themselves, the Sadducees, Pharisees, and other divisions of the Jews. God never expected for the people to be divided along those lines. Jesus was not a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He was just a Jew. And the publican was a Jew, but he collected taxes on behalf of the Romans. But yet both of them, I point that out because you'll have individuals say, well, here's an example of a man who just simply prayed the sinner's prayer. Beat upon it. No. Both these men had a right to be where they were. But the Lord has given the parable to express to the people the attitude, the different attitude that they had. And so he says that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And you think about the attitude, the audacity that this man had to say, Lord, I'm not like people. And he began to list some. But then he said, Lord, or even like this man. Now, could you imagine that? You want to make an application of that? That would be like you sitting where you are today and thinking, Lord, I'm glad that I'm not like drunkards out here and extortioners out here and idolaters out here and folks in the denominational world. And then you say, I'm glad I'm not like the person sitting in front of me, behind me, beside me, whatever the case may be. Cuts closer to home, doesn't it? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, what's the difference? Standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Ladies and gentlemen, we come before God to worship God in spirit and truth. We better check our attitude. Now, I can't check your attitude. You can't check mine. But when I worship God in spirit and truth, I need to be thinking about self and the attitude that I have. And be quite frank with you, I don't care. The condition necessarily, as far as that's concerned, about the person in front of me, behind me, or next to me, across the room, whatever the case is. I care about my condition before God as I worship Him in spirit and in truth. Romans 12, verse 3. God doesn't want us to think any highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Now, you ought to think something of yourself. You're created in the image of God. In fact, one of the lessons that hopefully, Lord willing, we'll talk about in our series of When Your Children Ask is going to be dealing with self-confidence. A problem that a lot of our young people have today. Is it wrong to have some self-confidence, confidence in yourself? No, but don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. A proud look is one of the six things mentioned in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, that the Lord hates. Proverbs 6:17. Remember those of Laodicea mentioned in Revelation, the 3rd chapter? They thought that they were in pretty good shape. God said, you don't realize that you're blind, miserable, and naked. Think of that. They were blinded toward their own condition. Humble yourself that God will exalt you in due time. James chapter 4 and in verse 10. Don't have this self-righteous attitude that we're any better than anybody else, because we're not, no matter who you are. In Acts 26 and in verse 28, we have another attitude that's on display for us. Here it was, Paul was brought before King Agrippa due to his teaching of the gospel of Christ. As he spoke, he stated, King Agrippa, verse 27 and 28 of Acts 28, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa answered to Paul and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'm convinced that I've had studies with individuals that are almost, in fact, individuals along the way who would say so much as almost. Maybe I'll get to the end of the study. They've not expressed their interest in obeying the gospel, their desire to do that. I get to the end of the study and I say, is there anything that's hindering you from obeying the gospel now that you've been taught the truth? Almost. Just about. I had a study not too long ago with a lady, just a very sweet lady. And I walked in on one of the occasions, and her words was, before I even sat down at the table to study the next lesson with her, she had been studying and reading the material. She said, you've got me almost convinced that the Church of Christ is a church I need to be a member of. Just didn't obey. That's the attitude that is on display in Acts 26, verse 28. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. How sad. Almost is not enough. Sometimes we sing the hymn, the invitational hymn, almost persuaded, but lost. No doubt, a lot of folks are like that today, almost. Something's keeping them from obeying. A lot of times, folks I study with, I don't know what it is. I don't ask them to tell me. You might be here tonight, not a Christian. And you may say, preacher, I'm almost persuaded. What's hindering you from obeying the gospel? You may not have another opportunity. In fact, if you're going to obey, it must be today. Tomorrow may not be, and yesterday's gone. Then we have the attitude that we can read about in the book of John, chapter 2. A very encouraging one. A good attitude to have. And one that I wish more people had today. In John chapter 2, you had the first miracle, the beginning of miracles that Jesus did, which was at the feast, the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. The Bible says, beginning in John chapter 2, verse 1, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was calling his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they had no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, now watch this. Watch this attitude. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. You need to underscore that in your Bible. Put that into your mind. Have the attitude, whatsoever he saith unto me, I'm going to do it. That's the attitude that she had. That's the advice that she gave. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And you can continue to read and read about the miracle that Jesus did. It's a good attitude and certainly good advice. The attitude of I can pick and choose what I want to do. Never has worked, never will work. We've got to do all that God has commanded. Remember the temptation I took you there to Matthew chapter 4 this morning, as we talked about Jesus being tempted those three times. He had fasted for 40 days. Some say, well, that wasn't possible. He must have ate something. Not so. The Bible says that he had fasted for 40 days. If he had ate something along the way, what on earth kind of temptation would it have been to have said, here's these stones, turn them to bread? That wouldn't even been a temptation had his belly been full. But that was one of the temptations. The devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now what did Jesus say? It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word, not some of the words, not just the words that sit well with me, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Got to keep all the commandments of God. Revelation 22:14. If you expect for heaven to be your eternal home, got to do the will of the Father. Matthew 7, verse 21. Why is that important? Because we're going to be ultimately judged according to the words that we find in the Bible. John 12, verse 48. Whatsoever he saith, do it. Come with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and again, you could just take this study and you could turn it into Bible class material and just keep adding to it. As you think about these attitudes that you have displayed in the Bible. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Wouldn't you like to have been there on that occasion? Been on the shore as the Lord was teaching people? In this boat. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Now here's Jesus, the carpenter, telling the fishermen to go out and launch out into the deep and let your nets down. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Makes a good study as you think about some of the other attitudes that Simon Peter had. Remember maybe the lesson that I did not sow, Lord? Simon's the one that had that attitude when he went on his housetop and he saw in a vision a great sheet, as it were, and in four corners let down from heaven that contained all manner of beasts, 4 foot of beasts and so forth, clean and unclean, and a voice from heaven that said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath ever entered in my mouth. Sometimes folks have the attitude today, in spite of what the Lord says, not so. But here it was, the Lord said, go, and you laid down your net for a drop. Lord, we've tarried all the night, toiled all the night, we've taken nothing. Now watch this attitude. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And they that had, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will let it down. What an attitude. To say, Lord, I'm going to set aside what I think, according to my reasoning, and really come to terms with self that we don't know better than the Lord. Who knew better in this situation, the Lord or Peter? Peter was an experienced fisherman, but the Lord, the Son of God, set self aside and obey what the Lord says. Now think about another statement made by Peter, and we're not going to get to all the ones tonight. In John chapter 6, very simple things as you just open up the pages of the Bible. And I encourage you, I challenge you, when you read the Bible and you're studying the Bible and you're reading what these people are doing, what they're saying, think about their attitude. Think about the attitude that they have in. Think about your attitude and the attitude of others perhaps that you have taken note of and learned from it. In the book of John chapter 6, verse 65, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus said unto the twelve, will you also go away?" Disciple means a follower, a learner, a student. These students of the Lord, many of them turned and walked no more with him. And then to the 12, "Are you going to leave too?" And watch what Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Makes a good sermon just on its own. To whom shall we go? "Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we are sure and persuaded that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You like that attitude? "Lord, to whom shall we go?" They could have went anywhere and received what they had received of the Lord. The teaching, the miracles that they had observed. Where are you going to go today? Some teaching a man, that won't save you. Some other Savior, there is no other Savior. If there is, it's only so called. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Matthew 1:21, John 1:29. A lot of other passages talk about that. Who will we go to? Jesus can offer what no other man can. Last point. In Acts chapter 9, here was a man that was a stout persecutor of God's people, present when they stoned Stephen. They laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. We read about in Acts chapter 7, making havoc of the church and persecuting the church. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. He had obtained authority from the chief priest to go even as far as to Damascus and bind men and women that were Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem where they would be punished. Saul of Tarsus thought that he did God's service. And as he was on his way to Damascus, the Bible says that there shone about him a bright light. And he said, "Lord, who art thou?" Jesus said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now watch this attitude of Acts 9, verse 6. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I wish more people would have that attitude and ask the question, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Many times individuals ask the question, "Lord, what should my neighbor do? What about someone else? What about self? What wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said, "Get up and go into the city to be told thee there what thou must do." He wasn't saved then. Not till he got to the city and the God-sent preacher Ananias came to him and told him what God had said to do. "And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22, verse 16. When he got up and he obeyed, is when he was saved. Not a second before. You agree? Think of that. If he'd been saved on his way to Damascus, how on earth did he have any sins that could have been washed away at that point? They'd all been forgiven. If he was saved before he was told. In fact, the Lord didn't tell him what to do in order to be saved. And think about that. When individuals tell you that he was saved on his way to Damascus, say, "Well, what did he do?" Because the Lord didn't tell him what to do. He didn't know what to do because he said, "What would you have me to do?" And the Lord just simply responded by saying, "Go into the city and it'll be told you what you have to do." The man didn't even know what to do to obey at that point. Did you ever think about that? Not till he was told when he got to the city, some distance away. Then he obeyed. And you can obey tonight by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord Himself will add you to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ. I very seriously doubt you've had a better offer than that. Have you? Maybe you're here tonight and you have obeyed, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You're not being faithful and you want to be restored. You can do that by repentance and confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.